On this Mother's Day, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message is In Praise of Godly Women, based on Proverbs 31, which reads,
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Have you ever wondered what the strongest thing in the world is? Well, Darius, the king of Babylon, was asked that question, and here's how he replied.
And without a moment's notice, this king of the most powerful empire of his day said this, Women are the strongest. Women give birth to men. Women nurture men. Women clothe men. Men give up a fortune looking for women. Men lose their heads for a woman. Almighty God has established motherhood as a demanding and holy calling. And today we're speaking to all women, whether mothers or not. Being a mother, as you know, is more than just giving birth. It involves the holy task of caring for home and husband, children and loved ones. And the saying, every mother is a working mother, applies to all women, whether or not they have a job outside of the house. God's word is filled with praises for godly women. Listen to just a selection. Proverbs 12, verse 4, a good wife is the crown of her husband. Proverbs 18, 22, he who finds a good wife obtains favors from the Lord. Proverbs 31, 10, a good wife is more precious than jewels. Proverbs 31, 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, we have some words of old Pastor Paul to young Pastor Timothy. Listen to what he says. Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now dwells in you. Godly women, you are indeed great. But before you get too puffed up with pride or heads get too swollen, there's another biblical truth to consider. Women, mothers, men, children, all of us, we're all sinners. We're in need of forgiveness. St. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no clearer evidence today than the effects of sin and separation from God that in broken homes, broken families, broken marriages, broken relationships. Who here has not somehow in some way been affected by the brokenness that's found in families due to sin? This is true for all women, for all men, for all children who not only face their own sinfulness, but face a world and a society around us today that's hostile to anything godly in the home. But the age-old truth of Scripture still is true. God is ready and able to guide and strengthen all of us, especially mothers, as we turn our hearts to Him. We remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel, that great man of God and prophet in the Old Testament. Hannah, for many years, had been barren, unable to have children. She desperately wanted a son, and this was much more than just a woman's natural desire in her day. A woman without children was considered by many to be useless, to be damaged goods, to be cursed. And certainly in those days, children were the only form of old age security. There was no government pensions to take care of you in your older years. So we see Hannah fervently begging God in prayer. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Listen to these verses. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and give me a son, then I will dedicate him to you the rest of his life. The Lord remembered Hannah. So Elkanah lay with his wife Hannah, and in time she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, which in Hebrew means God heard. For she said, I asked the Lord for him, and God heard my prayer. Now, this is not to say that God will give each of us everything we ask for. God knows better than that. But it does mean that God honors those who sincerely turn their hearts to Him. It's up to God, who knows best, to finally give us what's best for us. We also remember from the pages of Holy Scripture an unnamed Canaanite woman. Canaanites were the sworn enemies of the Jewish people. Canaanites were considered to live on the wrong side of the tracks. Canaanites were often called dogs by Jewish neighbors. Yet a Canaanite woman, whose name we'll never know, one day came to Jesus with the simple plea, Lord, please heal my daughter. This loving mother would not give up until Jesus took care of her daughter. Now, Jesus doesn't answer her all at once. She has to wait. And in her waiting, her faith is strengthened. That can be true for all of us as well. We read from Matthew 15. A Canaanite woman came to Jesus crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly. But Jesus did not answer her a word. His disciples urged him to send her away, for she was a Canaanite. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she cried. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. But she replied, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. All throughout the Bible, are you beginning to see the pattern here? The Bible reveals God as one who especially cares for mothers. In the Old Testament book of Psalms, which is the Hebrew's hymnal, in Psalm 113, we see a hymn of praise to God, and God's greatness is measured by how He cares for those who are in need. Listen to the words. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, but who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home and makes her a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Now consider also, as Jesus hung upon the cross, paying for your sins and the sins of the world, consider His care for His own mother. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we see the account of Jesus on the cross, paying for the sins of the world. And even as He is suffering the pains of crucifixion, Jesus' thoughts are for His mama. In his dying moments, he asked the Apostle John to take care of his mother Mary. Mary's husband Joseph had already died, and now Jesus, his son, her son, was soon to die. Listen to these precious words from John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother standing there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, Jesus said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple he said, Here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. Now, continuing our theme of God's love and care for mothers, here's a beautiful reality of the Bible. And if you, for some reason, have tuned out so far, here's the chance to really tune back in to this message. Here's the truth of the Bible that's so often overlooked. God's love for us is compared to the love of a mother. In Isaiah 49, which I'll read to you in just a moment, God compares His love for us with the love of a nursing brother with a baby at her breast. The people of Judah, who at this time are in Babylonian captivity, under control of their enemies, they feel that God has forsaken them and forgotten them. Listen to what God says, Isaiah 49. The people have said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." But God says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. Your names are engraved into the palms of my hands." Here is good news for the people of Judah. Here is good news for you and for me and for any of us when we feel sometimes alone in our pain, when we feel forsaken or even feel abandoned by God. God says, "I have not forsaken you." And to emphasize this truth, God, Almighty God, could have chosen anything in creation. But Almighty God chooses to compare Himself to a nursing mother. He asks a question that demands a no answer. He says, "Do you think a nursing mother could abandon her newborn baby boy at her breast and cast him aside? Of course not. But even if this unimaginable thing could happen," the Lord says, "I will never abandon you. My love for you is even stronger than the love of a nursing mother for her baby." And as if that assurance were not enough, He says, "Not only that, but your names are engraved in the palms of my hands." This was a reference to an ancient custom of the day by pagan peoples around Israel who would engrave or cut or mark or tattoo into their hands the name of their false god or the idol they served, to remind them every day who they should be afraid of, who they better serve unless His wrath comes. But Almighty God turns this whole thing around 180 degrees. Here in this Isaiah passage, God, to assure the people of His love and care, He says, "I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. You were always in my heart and mind. I will never forget or forsake you." Let me ask you a question as we draw toward the end of this message. When and where did Almighty God inscribe your name into the palm of His hands? I can think of no better time and place than at the cross. When Jesus was crucified for your sin and for mine, when He allowed sinful men to nail spikes through His hands and His feet, when those nails pierced those precious hands, who was on His mind? Of whom was He thinking? Who did He not forget? You and me. As those nails pierced His hands, as hammers engraved those spikes into His flesh, He was thinking of you, Dute. He was thinking of you, Thera. He was thinking of you, Kevin. Your names and mine were engraved into the palms of His hands. In Isaiah 66, 11 to 12, God's love for His people is compared to the love of a playful, loving mother. Let me read the text. "For you will be nursed and satisfied at your mother's comforting breasts. You'll be carried in her arms. You'll be dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord." Did you catch that old-time phrase, to dandle on your knees? What does it mean to dandle on your knees? It's an old expression which means to play and to bounce up and down on mama's knees in an affectionate way. Oh, your mother probably did this with you. Mine did with me. Sitting in the chair, mother sets you on her knees and bounces you up and down, saying, let's go on a horsey ride, up and down and up and down. Now just imagine, the Holy Scripture says, Almighty God, who runs the entire universe, says to you and to me, He takes delight in you like a mother bouncing you up and down on her knees. That's the kind of love the Father has for you and for me. One last passage for today. Luke 13:34. Here our Lord Jesus compares His love for sinners who want nothing to do with Him with the love of a mother for her baby chicks. The image Jesus paints is of a mama chicken trying to gather her chicks under her wings when a fox is coming to get them. Listen to the passage. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kill the prophets and those sent to you, how often I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Of course, Jesus' love continues today, doesn't it, for those who want nothing to do with Him? Like a mother's love for her children who have gone astray and rebelled. Oh, the love of our Savior for our unbelieving friends and neighbors and family members. And oh, the love of our Savior for sinners like you and like me. Today on Mother's Day, we give thanks to God for godly women and their love for us. But even more, we thank God that His love for us is even greater than a mother's love. All praise, honor, and glory be to Him. In the name of Jesus, Amen.